Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Golden Ratio Podcast. I am Jen, GR Mom, joined as always by GR Dad.
Hi.
How's it going, GR Dad?
Pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. The cocktail of the week this week is called the Soul Taker. It has one.
That's pretty good.
1 ounce each of vodka, tequila, and amaretto.
Wow.
Yep.
And it takes the soles off your shoes?
Maybe. We should try it.
Yeah. It'll take the soles right off your shoes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It's S-O-U-L, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm hilarious.
You're so funny.
I'm so pleased with myself. Funny. Nobody could see the sarcastic look on your face as I made that joke. Like, maybe if I don't laugh, he'll stop talking about it. But I kept talking about it.
And you continue to keep talking about it.
Your strategy backfired, Professor.
Are you done?
Yes.
It's time for Administrative Corner.
Yay!
Okay.
I still get what I want. Yay!
Last week, I promised to do more research into the NASA jellyfish experiments. I have done said research, and I return with results.
This is good stuff, because it did raise some questions.
This is an article by Megan Garber. It is titled, "I Don't Think You're Ready for This, Jelly." Since the early 1990s, we humans have been doing something both odd and eminently sensible. We have been launching jellyfish into space.
Yeet.
And we've been doing so for science.
Yeet. Me too.
During NASA's first Space Lab Life Sciences mission in 1991, NASA began conducting an experiment, the effects of microgravity-induced weightlessness on Aurelia Etheria differentiation in statolith synthesis.
Who thought of this?
To carry it out, the Space Shuttle Columbia launched into space a payload of 2,478 jellyfish polyps.
So many!
Creatures contained within flasks and bags that were filled with artificial seawater. Astronauts injected chemicals into those bags that would induce the polyps to swim freely and ultimately reproduce.
What?
Over the course of the mission, the creatures proliferated. By the mission's close, there were some 60,000 jellyfish orbiting Earth.
Holy smokes! Those things went crazy!
The point of all this, as the experiment title sort of suggests, was to test microgravity's effects on jellyfish as they develop from polyp to medusa.
Good lord.
And the point of that, in turn, was to test how the jellyfish would respond when they were back on Earth.
Who thought of this?
Jellyfish, foreign to us in so many ways, are like humans in one very particular manner. They orient themselves according to gravity. As the biologist R.R. Helm explains it, when a jelly grows, it forms calcium sulfate crystals on the margin of its bell. These crystals are surrounded by a little cell pocket coated in specialized hairs. Is this sounding familiar?
My ear.
Mm-hmm. And these pockets are equally spaced around the bell. When jellies turn, the crystals roll down with gravity to the bottom of the pocket, moving the cell hairs, which in turn send signals to the neurons.
Jellyfish clean them with Q-tips.
In this way, jellies are able to sense up and down. All they need is gravity. Humans, of course, are similarly sensitive. Okay, inner ear stuff.
Yep.
And here, according to Deep Sea News, is the result of the studies. The astro jelly's sense of gravity did indeed seem to be impaired by being raised in space.
Deep Sea News. Today at the Mariana Trench.
The results of the STS-1 experiment published in the journal Advances in Space Research. Noted. See, I can click on that link. Let's see if we can bring that up. And I can tell you who came up with this. I can tell you because it's going to be the author of the scientific article.
Who convinced NASA to eat jellyfish into space? I think that's a major coup. There's hundreds of thousands of species on Earth. And they're like, ooh, jellyfish.
Yeah.
Good move.
I got to confirm that Harvard is my institution in order to get access to this scientific article.
You confirm it. You need your ID?
Yeah. jeg758@g.harvard.edu.
Don't tell everyone. They'll sign out books on your behalf.
That's not like you got to log in and stuff. That's just my username.
Like, Harvard's going to be like, who signed out 1,000 books? Jen.
Okay, here you go. D.B. Spangenberg, T. Jernigan, R. McCombs, B.T. Lowe, M. Sampson, and J. Sluicer of Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk and the NASA Astronaut Office. Oh, that's like the astronauts. T. Jernigan is the astronaut who did this. So these other people are from Eastern Virginia Medical School in Norfolk, and they convinced NASA to eat jellyfish into space.
I mean, they're on the ocean, so maybe they just spend a lot of time thinking about jellyfish.
Well, they're in the medical school, though, so they probably are interested in...
Ears.
This is
ears.
Advances in Space Research.
That's amazing. So they had 68,000 jellyfish floating around for a while. But that was in the 90s.
1991. Okay, basically the invertebrates had vertigo. As cool as being an astronaut baby sounds, the jellies didn't develop the same gravity sensing capabilities as their earthly relatives.
They did not.
Which may not bode well for the vertebrate organisms that may be born in microgravity, spacefaring humans among them.
Wow. Don't have a baby in space.
Oh, I skipped this. The difficulties that the jellyfish had when they came back to Earth were pulsing and movement abnormalities compared to their earthbound counterparts.
Huh.
So there you go.
This is a slightly different take, though. There was something about them being unhappy when
they hate it. But I guess if you have vertigo, I mean, wouldn't you hate that?
I would. It would make me nauseous. Yeah. And also, if you're like lumpy or something and you like have difficulty compared to others, like you'd be bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid jellyfish bullies. Bully fish.
Okay. The second item in administrative corner is truly administrative. It comes from a friend of the squad, Syntax.
Okay.
Who just sends us this thing. 21 U.S. Code sections 331, 333, 343, and 21 CFR, which is the Code of Federal Regulations, section 155, 120, A43A, make it a federal crime to sell canned green beans that you say are stringless unless your beans are, in fact, stringless.
I think that is actually known as the Chief Brody Protection Act of 1998.
See if he doesn't like strings in his beans.
He does not. He does not like to be tricked into having stringless beans with strings.
Yeah, stringy beans.
Brody complained loudly about that and said a third dinner might help.
Yeah, that sounds like
But he
him.
Says that about everything. So, that's his universal complaint.
No.
Third dinner, always better.
Also true.
So, that's a federal crime. To sell stringless beans.
To sell stringed beans and call them stringless.
Is this a big
problem? If they're canned.
I don't understand if they're really solving big problems or if this some congressperson had like string in his beans and was like, I'm going to make this illegal.
Listen, the U.S. is like these things sound silly until like you go abroad to countries that are not as well regulated and then you get weird stuff in your food and you're like, why is this? Why is this can of stringless green beans all stringy? And it's because we got a rule and you got to follow the rules here. And then there's other places where it's just like, you can do whatever the hell you want. There's no rules.
Just jam some stuff in cans and put a picture on it.
I mean,
I agree.
There are places that happens.
I agree. I think regulations are good.
Okay.
It does make it sound bad to be a federal crime.
It's just a regulation.
Makes it a federal crime.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're the lawyer.
Federal crime.
Okay. It's time for dog updates.
Okay.
All right. Guac's hematoma is improving.
It is. I've been trying to keep him from swimming.
You've been doing a
little
good
bit
job.
Because he just gets wet and shakes, and his head is part of his body that he shakes. And so his ears, I think it makes his ears more puffy.
The shaking of the head definitely makes the hematomas.
So maybe it's my fault that, you know, there were some days where he would go swimming 2 or 3 times a day. So
Frank, why are you crying, Frank?
It's better now.
She just needed to move positions.
She needs more dinner, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I bet she does. Let's do the Vink update. So Guac's getting better slowly. Mm-hmm. All right, so Vink went to the oncologist last week, and I had reported last week that she got another dose of the medicine that she got when we first started her seeing the oncologist, and I was incorrect. It was a different new medicine.
Yes.
And it didn't work.
It did not.
It did not work. And so the oncologist told her to come back in today, and Ingo drove her back today. And so she now today got a dose of the medicine that she got when we started. And when she got this last time, we're doing exactly the same thing. She got some Benadryl. She got this particular medicine, and she's starting on prednisone. That's exactly what we did after Thanksgiving when we found the stuff. And I said this last time, but like, I mean it this time, it made her lymph nodes go down within 24 hours. So we should be able to tell tomorrow if that's working. So she got that today. And then since the medicine that she got last week didn't work, we are now on to kind of alternative chemo options, and they're alternative because they're not as safe as the ones that she was on that didn't work. So one can cause like nausea and GI issues, and the other one can cause like changes in liver values and enzymes. And we can go with either one. And I think we've both agreed that going with the liver enzymes one is better,
mm-hmm.
because it would suck for her to be nauseous and have diarrhea and vomiting, because she already has a sort of sensitive system.
Yes.
And, you know, there's stuff we can give to try to mitigate the liver things, but we just kind of have to like try them and see what works for her.
Yeah. We have a very intellectually disciplined doctor who like goes through these options and sort of checks off what works and what doesn't work and what are the next moves. And she's very constructive sort of about all of this. And she's not, she doesn't just go, well, that didn't work, I'm out.
Yeah, she's
kind
good.
Of, she's kind of like, here's about three other drugs that might work, and here's another regimen, and, you know, let's try that, but here are the side effects potentially, et cetera. So she's very good to work with, and she's the kind of vet that I like, which is problem-solving and proactive and also sharing a lot of information, which is great.
Totally. I think she's great.
Yep, and they all love Vink in the practice.
Yes, they do.
But Tex, I think, would like to keep her there longer, which is always a good sign.
Yeah. So it's good that there's options. I was worried we were out of options, but it's good that there's some other ones to try. And the good news is that Vink is pretty much fine. I mean, she's like a little sleepier than she was before she started chemo, and her fur's kind of messed up, which you can see. I mean, it's not all falling out, but it's coarser and kind of shaggier.
If this were my hair, I'd use a different conditioner.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, she needs a real like deep hot oil treatment.
Yeah, she needs to get her body back. Yeah.
But you know, she's still happy and going for swims, and like her quality of life is good.
Yeah, right now she's being chomped by Feta, or she's chomping Feta, so it's fine.
And I think she initiated this, so
she sure did.
So it's good. She's doing fine. And so we're kind of in that phase of like, let's just keep her doing fine.
Yeah. Nobody has been fatalistic about it yet, where there's some kind of imminent emergency or disaster. We're ready for a shoe to drop, but it hasn't dropped yet.
Yep. Totally. So that's Vink. That's the main update. Rhodey's fine. Feta's fine. Remy's fine. Zola is friggin' adorable. We are making intermittent progress on her housebreaking.
Chaotic.
She has some days where she's like really good, and other days where she's like, fuck you guys, I do what I want.
Yeah.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
There's been a couple of escapos. The steak neighbor house is occupied right now, and so Feta just thought it would be hilarious. No, Guac led the charge and just went over there and was just in their pool all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not steak neighbor. It's some friends of theirs that are visiting.
Yeah, there were no steaks involved. It was just someone was in the pool and Guac was like, I'm going to go over there. You're kind of disloyal there, Guacoman.
Yeah.
You know, just because I wasn't actually throwing the ball, he went over there to see if they would throw the ball.
We also will have some neighbor across the street updates if you are a Patreon or a super follower, if you'd like to continue following the saga of our problematic neighbor.
Yeah.
It's like $5 a month. And
it continues.
I think that the podcast update, there's a lot of updates this week.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
I'm glad it's a gift for everybody else.
Doesn't mean it's a good thing. It's just a gift. Yeah, it's like Pandora's box. It was a gift. The Trojan horse, gift. Not a good gift.
No, but
gift.
Okay, it's time for ramblings.
Yep.
This is an article. This is an older article, but I came across it this week, so we're going to read it.
Sure.
The headline.
I let you ramble with no problem and no restrictions.
The headline from the Daily Mail.
Because I love you.
I lost 125 pounds and decided to get a divorce.
Whoa.
Woman who changed her life after she saw Bigfoot is suing California after national park officials say it was just a bear.
Wait, what just happened?
Would you like me to read that headline again?
Yes.
Yes, don't interrupt this time because it's complicated.
Mm.
Quote, I lost 125 pounds and decided to get a divorce. Close quote. Colon. Woman who changed her life after she saw a Bigfoot is suing California after national park officials say it was just a bear.
I think that headline is too confusing.
It's a kind of classic Daily Mail headline.
It's a whole story, but it may not line up with the actual story, but it's interesting.
Claudia Ackley, 46, sued the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. She claimed she saw Bigfoot at a national park, but officials told her it was a bear.
You get sued for that now?
Claudia says she saw an alpha male Sasquatch looking at her from behind a tree.
Alpha male Sasquatch. It wasn't even a beta male Sasquatch.
No, no.
What the heck?
Her first court hearing is set for Monday in San Bernardino.
Oh my goodness.
Woman who swears she saw and videoed a Bigfoot is suing the state of California to recognize her sighting after national park officials told her she had seen a bear. Claudia Ackley sued the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to get it to recognize Bigfoot, the enormous humanoid creature allegedly seen by thousands of eyewitnesses.
Oh, come on.
As an actual species.
This is the Daily Mail. Allegedly seen by thousands?
Her first court hearing is set for Monday in San Bernardino. However, a spokesman for the department said it would not comment on ongoing litigation. Claudia sued the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to get it to recognize Bigfoot. Yeah, we said that. Last March, Ackley was out for a hike with her two daughters, 14 and 11, near Lake Arrowhead, California. She says they were at a trailhead with their dog when one of her daughters saw something that made her freeze in her tracks. Claudia says she saw an alpha male Sasquatch looking at her from behind a tree. Apparently, one of her daughters had been taking a video at the time. In the video, Ackley's daughter says, "I swear to God, Mom." Ackley is adamant, "I swear to God on my life, we ran into Sasquatch." California woman shares video. Oh, there's a video. Should we watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe we can't watch it.
What do you mean we can't?
There you go. Okay. Okay. We'll link this up under the podcast description. It's a real blurry. I think this article is like 2013, so this is like somebody's flip phone video. It just looks like I don't see
it's
anything.
A bear.
I can't even see the bear. It just looks like a tree. Okay, we'll link it up so you all can watch it for yourselves.
It does not look like an alpha male Sasquatch to me. The pecs are not well developed.
All right, so they see this thing. She called the Department of Fish and Wildlife, which sent out an investigator. She showed the video to the investigator, who said she saw a bear. Ackley rejected that, saying, "My daughters have seen bears. They're not scared by bears." Ackley says this isn't the first time she's seen the creature. The first time was in Washington State during a Bigfoot trek arranged as a vacation with her then husband in 2014. She saw what she thought was a small 5-foot-tall Bigfoot in the trees and locked eyes with it. She even made a plaster mold of an alleged footprint.
That's the beta Bigfoot, is the 5-foot one, I guess.
They're supposed to be there to protect the public. They're not doing their job, she says. If I can save one life, it'll be worth it.
Save what?
I think she's saying Fish and Wildlife is supposed to protect people. And
from Bigfoot against Sasquatch? Is that what it is?
I guess.
Good luck.
I realized at that point, looking at the creature, that there's so much of life that we don't know. Life is so beautiful, and I'm wasting my years, she said. I lost 125 pounds and decided to get a divorce. It motivated me to chase my dreams and live my life. And look, lady, I gotta say, if you're like, life is beautiful, and I am weighed down both by these pounds and my husband, it's a good idea to get a divorce and do those things anyway, and you don't need Sasquatch to make that happen.
Lose 125 pounds through diet and 180 pounds through divorce.
That's right.
180 pounds of
like 300 pounds
of unnecessary fat.
If you're unhappy being married, get divorced. And if you're unhappy with your weight, like, try to lose some, I guess. But you don't need Sasquatch.
Yeah, the divorces might be easier, actually, than losing 125 pounds.
I think 100% it is easier to get divorced than lose 125 pounds.
And it's not easy to get divorced.
No.
But it's really hard to lose 125 pounds. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yep.
Yeah. I was trying to come up with a way to phrase this that I'm not coming up with, but I will tell you that Instagram keeps showing me an ad for like this little pin, because I like follow all these military accounts now, and this pin says, "Maybe the real WMDs were the friends we made along the way." And I like kind of want it, and I was trying to find like maybe the, I don't know, I was trying to like fit the Sasquatch and the weight loss. I couldn't do it, but I was thinking about that pin. Maybe the real WMDs were the friends we met along the way.
That's so dumb, but so good. Oh, geez.
Michael Shermer, an author, professor, and publisher, says for Ackley to win in court, she's going to need more than just eyewitnesses. You can't sue the state of California to protect a species if you can't prove the species exists, he said. That applies to everything from a snail to Bigfoot. You can't just show up at a conference and say, "I saw this incredible thing at 3 a.m. on a camping trip. Can I name it?" No, you have to have a body. Shermer says The way to talk to people about these things is respect them, even if you don't necessarily respect their beliefs. First of all, you have to listen to them, he says. You have to show respect. Ask questions. Ask them what it would take to change their minds. As for Bigfoot, he says, there's no conspiracy. Biologists would love to find another bipedal primate. It would be the find of the century.
You shut up! Shut up!
Remy, it would be good to shut up.
However, Ackley is determined to prove it's true. If you think you intimidate me after being face-to-face with an 800-pound creature, well, you don't.
You're just making up metrics there, lady. Is it 5 pounds? Is it 8? Is it 5 feet?
Alpha male, Ingo.
Alpha male.
He's an alpha male.
How many pounds? Come on.
Remy, come here. Stop that. Stop it.
This is why you're the least favorite child, Remy.
Remy, you may not even be a child. You may just be a neighbor. Come here.
You're so loud.
Remy.
God. He's got this.
He's so
grumpy. On his face.
He's just excited because everyone else is biting each other and he's not.
Remy, you can bite everyone too. They like it.
All right, let's do Taste of the Keys. You are responsible.
I'm responsible for Taste of the Keys.
Yeah, you sent it.
Because you rambled. All right.
No, I have the Taste of the Keys. You sent it to me.
Oh, yeah.
So you get credit for it. You don't have to read it. I'll read it.
Oh, thanks. This is excellent. I love this arrangement.
Yeah.
Come here, Remy.
Woman arrested for stalking. M.A. Daler, 61, of Plantation Key, Florida, was arrested for aggravated stalking for harassing a neighbor for the last 2 years. There were no physical injuries reported. The case began in 2022 when the victim reported honking a horn at peacocks that were blocking the street. And there definitely are peacocks up there on Plantation
Key. Always peacocks up there. Yeah. What the heck?
They're beautiful.
How can
they do make noises?
This is one of those things where I can't get my head around the fact that there are wild peacocks.
Yeah.
They seem like they should be like pets or domestic animals. It'd be like saying, you know, there are wild pigs, which I know there are wild boar, but
30 to 50 wild boars.
They just appear in 2 minutes. But like there are wild free roaming cows or something. Yeah. Like there's wild free roaming peacocks.
I've seen them.
With their ridiculously large tails.
They're giant and flamboyant.
Walking around.
Yep.
In
screaming.
Up in the upper keys.
Yep.
Like what the heck?
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, so yes, if they're crossing in front of me, I'll honk too to
make
sure they
just hang out in the street. Yeah.
But also they shouldn't get runned over.
Yep. All right, so the victim honks at the peacocks. Daler, the neighbor, called the victim an animal abuser and for the next 2 years continued to verbally harass, insult, and threaten the victim. Daler also followed the victim, took pictures of the victim's house, and left threatening messages on the property.
There must have been more than this peacock incident, don't you think? This is a neighborly disagreement or a neighbor friction.
Think about our neighbor across the street who thinks we kidnapped a child from Portugal and took them to South America. South America is a country for her. And that's where we took this child that we abducted and we're hiding out here and she saw our pictures in the paper.
That's true.
If you'd like to know more about that, you can listen to the bonus pods.
Ooh, good tease. Good tease.
We talk all about that in one of them. Our across the street neighbor would totally do this.
Yep. It's good to know there's some kind of anti-stalking thing.
I mean, this is extremely relevant to our current situation.
Stop stalking. Stop stalking.
A warrant was obtained for Daler's arrest, and she was taken to jail on March 22nd, 2024.
That is a bad neighbor, I'll tell you.
Yep.
You got someone who's leaving you notes and, you know, just generally yelling at you and stuff.
Huh,
that's bad.
Sounds familiar. God.
Stop teasing the episode.
No, I'm just real upset at our neighbor situation.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, what's the German word of the week?
Oh, it is Übergangsjacke. I saw this online.
Overgoing yak.
Not quite.
Oh, jacket. Over jacket. Overcoat.
Yeah, except Übergang means transition. So it's a transitional jacket. It's neither for winter nor for summer, but it's for cooler temperatures or for slightly warmer temperatures. So it's for the Übergangstemperaturen.
Übergang.
Übergang
transition.
Is a transition. It means
but it does kind of mean like overgo.
Yeah, it means
like
to
literally
go over. Übergehen could be to skip over. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
But Übergangsjacke
I can
is
see
the word
that,
for a light jacket.
Yeah.
But it's so like technical and complex Übergangsjacke.
It's like a medium weight jacket.
Yeah, for, you know, for the spring, for April, because the weather now is uncertain.
Well, I mean, it was 80 degrees and sunny today and every day before and every day to come.
Down here, we don't have that April
showers. We don't need
showers,
any yuccas, period.
Flowers, what?
We don't need any yuccas, period.
No, if we have yuccas, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We have yuccas for dogs. It's under 50 degrees.
It never gets under 50 degrees.
No.
No. Okay, that's a good one. It's time for Ingo Corner, where you can talk about whatever you want.
Oh.
You think she needs to go out?
If anyone needs a... I mean, she always needs to go out. If anyone needs a good podcast recommendation who's into sports or bros.
Yeah.
But I also mean brothers. The Kelsey podcast, which I think is called New Heights, because they both grew up in Cleveland Heights. That's a good listen. They're two brothers. One of them is a tight end for
everybody
Kansas
knows who
City,
Travis Kelsey
one
is.
One is a former.
One is Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
For Philadelphia Eagles, and one is Taylor Swift's
everybody
boyfriend.
Knows who this is.
Yes, Taylor Swift does not feature in the podcast, so I don't want to. You know, I'm warning everyone off there, but. The dynamic between the two is great, and they make, you know, even football trades and salary negotiations seem kind of interesting, and then their lives are kind of interesting, and they just had Arnold Schwarzenegger on, and he's also an interesting guy, so it was like a confluence of interesting people who I think are basically good.
I watched a couple episodes. I think there's like a three-part Netflix show about Arnold Schwarzenegger. We watched the first couple, and they were great.
Yeah, really he's a guy who believes he needs to give back to America because America allowed him to be so successful. And this kind of the idea of noblesse oblige, the idea that that aristocracy obliges you to give back to society is important, and we're losing it. And I think it would be better if it were continued. If you're lucky and fortunate and wealthy, you should also give back a lot. A lot.
Mm-hmm,
and Arnold definitely does that. And he preaches it. So there you go.
There's little clips of the Kelsey Brothers podcast on like Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
They're
charming.
They're very cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never listened to like a full episode, but I've watched the little clips and they're good.
Yeah. So random podcast recommendation.
Anything else you want to add?
Not right now. Is that a trick question?
No.
You're looking at me like I'm forgetting something.
No, that's great.
Just tell me.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want more, we're going to record a bonus after this about the neighbor.
Yeah, might not be better, but it will be more.
Yeah, it'll be different. Yeah. I'll curse more for sure.
Get out.
And until next time, Slava Ukraini, and don't put anyone unless they ask you to.
That's right, Zola.
Bye.